Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. And so we understand we're continuing with our current sermon series, which is, you know, the honor factor. And we know honor is of everything that makes the difference in the lives of people. Amen. And as we get into this honor, we're going to jump right into our scriptures. I'm going to give you a pattern that God has given me. And so if you have your Bibles, if you can go to the book of Mark, chapter number 12, and we're going to start at verse number 28. Mark, chapter number 12. We're going to start at verse number 28. If you notice, we have the actual scriptures on the screen, so we can kind of just breeze through this a little bit. So Mark chapter 12, verse number 28, here begins the reading of God's holy word. It says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And our last scripture says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Amen. And so what we have here in scripture, as we're in the book of Mark, we understand the book of Mark, the writer of this particular book, I like Mark because Mark is kind of a punch you in the mouth. He doesn't beat around the bush trying to give you all details and fluff and puff. He just gets straight to the point. And so what we have here is, you know, the different scribes are coming and they're trying to entice Jesus by his words. And so they were trying to see exactly what he knew in relation to the law. And so here they come, the scribes, as we saw in verse number 28, it says, "One of the scribes came in, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment?" So we understand there were some people that likes to play word games, right? As we talk about this whole honor issue, there's some people that like to play word games. So we see that these particular scribes did not honor Christ as him being who he was, and that is the Messiah, or that is the Son of God. And so in trying to trick him up, one of the ways that they would do that or try to attempt to do that was by the means of conversation. And so we see that as the scribe came, Christ heard them reasoning and he perceiving the answer. He said, okay, he answered them well. And so the question the scribe then poses to him is, which is the first commandment of all? Moving down into verse number 29, he says what? The word of the Lord Jesus Christ said, and Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And what we see here is Christ is actually quoting from the Old Testament. This is known in Hebraic culture as the Shema. And when you understand the Shema, when you just look at the first words, Hear, O Israel, and then followed by the Lord our God is one Lord, what it's talking about is, Hear, O Israel, what Christ was trying to get the people to understand, according to Hebraic culture, is, okay, before I hear the instruction, before I understand the direction, before I even understand what it is that you're going to say, my mind is already made up that whatever you're about to say, my mind is already made up that I am going to wholeheartedly follow this instruction. My mind is already made up that I'm going to obey regardless of what the instruction is. So when you hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, that is known as the Shema in the Hebraic culture. And starting with Hear, O Israel, it is saying that, okay, before I hear the instruction or before I hear what the Lord is going to say to us, my mind is already made up that I'm going to obey what God is saying. So he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So we understand God is one. He's the only Lord. He's the only true and living God. Beside him, there is no other God. Moving down into verse number 30, it says what? It says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And what we see utilizing these particular verses here in the book of Mark, we see there is a pattern that God has given us. Even though these particular scriptures speak to love, we understand when we talk about honor, honor is really having a high regard or high respect for someone, right? So let me give you a definition of honor. You know, let's put a definition of honor in here. So according to Hebraic culture, this is what honor is. Honor is something that is heavy. Definition number one, it talks about something that is valued by weight. So if there is going to be anything that is honor or for people to recognize it has honor, to them it has to have a sense of weight. It has to be something that is heavy. So in other words, it's a value that you place on someone or something. The heavier it is, the more value or the more honor that it has, right? But the more important thing that we have been kind of focusing in on is that honor is the thing that opens the inside door. And when we talk about the inside door, we're talking about the heart. So it is honor that causes the heart of an individual to actually be open. Case in point, when you look at different relationships that we have been involved in, let's just say, okay, you had your first girlfriend or you had your first boyfriend and the thing got serious. How did it get serious? It got serious because you begin to honor the individual. And as you honor the individual, it then allowed for them to open their heart, giving you access to the inside of their heart. So when we talk about what opens the inside door, it is the heart. And what causes the inside door to be open, it is honor. For example, when you think about those of you in COP Lakeland, thinking about your pastor, Pastor Katrina, why does she have such access to your heart? Why? Because she has honored you. So honoring the call of God that is upon your life, honoring, you know, the anointing that is upon your life, all these different things that you think about how she's honored you as an individual, it then allows for you to open the inside door of your heart, giving her access to your heart. And when you think about this whole honor thing, something else that I begin to write, because that person has that weight in your life, it should be that no matter the different storms that come, no matter the different trials that come, because guess what? You are going to be tried in your relationship with your pastor. You're going to be tried. There are going to be days that she says things that you are not going to like. There are going to be days that she says things that you're going to totally disagree with. But because I honor who she is, meaning I honor the call that God has placed on her, I honor the role of the function that she's going to play in my life, I cannot disregard nor can I overlook who God has called her to be in my life, because God has purpose for her to be in my life to help get me to a strategic place in my life as it pertains to the will of God that is upon my life. So regardless of what comes, regardless of how y'all are tried, you know you honor her because she has a heavy place in your heart or a heavy place in your life. And I don't care who comes to try to talk about her, because she has a heavy place in my life, guess what? She's not easily blown out my life. I don't care how the enemy comes to try to persuade me, coerce me, seduce me, because she has a heavy place in my life, she's not easily moved from my life. This is what honor is. So number three, it talks about honor. It is the biblical door, right? To great friendship. If I'm going to have great friendship, it's going to be because honor. And when you think about relationships, look at the end of the word. We have relation and then we have ship. A ship is a vessel that is designed to take you from one destination to the next place, right? So when you think about, we have friendship, relationship, fellowship, all these different words that have ship on the end. So let's just stick with the word relationship. Relationship, it is designed to take you to somewhere. So if you look at all the relationships that are part of your life, if they're not causing you to become a better person, if they're not taking you to a greater place in your life, then you might want to question those friendships. It may be that there is not true honor that is housed inside of these friendships. So we understand honor, it is the biblical door to great friendship. It is also the biblical door to great love, community, which is fellowship, and then blessings, right? So if you're going to have great friendship, if you're going to have love, if you're going to have great community or great fellowship and blessing, and we understand blessings are not just the materialistical things, you know, the houses, the cars, the bonuses that we see upon the job and things like that, those are indeed blessings. But when you look at blessings from a Hebraic perspective, blessings are the words that the father spoke over the children, speaking about who they would be, speaking about what they would do in relation to what God is saying according to that individual. So these are the blessings. So if I'm going to have great blessing in my life, it is going to be because of the honor that is exemplified from my life. Amen. So as we go back to the scripture, we see in Mark chapter 12, we see there was a pattern. Now I want you to see, take me down to verse number 30. So we see when God, he's saying, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. It's as if we can interchangeably use the word love and put honor. So look at the scripture say, and thou shalt honor the Lord thy God. So in other words, if I'm going to love God, it's going to come by me honoring God. And if I'm going to honor God, it's going to come by me loving God. All right? So I want you to see how we can interchangeably use those words. Thou shalt honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Having that high reverence or having that high regard or that high respect for the Lord God, right? We move down to the verse 31 and it says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love or thou shalt honor thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. No other commandment that is greater than these. The way I honor my neighbor is to love my neighbor as I love myself. Or honor my neighbor as I will honor myself. So what I'm giving you is I'm giving you a pattern for these particular scriptures that show you how love and honor are used interchangeably. For example, when you look at the marriage covenant, the Bible talks about husbands are to love their wives and wives are to honor their husbands. So we see the relationship of honor and love in the covenant relationship. And so by us being the body of Christ, being in covenant relationship with God, which it also brings us into covenant relationship with our fellow brother and sister. So there should be this relationship of honor and love working amongst us. And I'm so glad that Pastor Katrina, even as she was praying, she began to say, you know, and let us not forsake ourselves, the gathering of ourselves coming together. It is important, especially considering the times that we're in right now where things have been, we've been kind of forced to come up with creative ways and creative ideas to still get the gospel out. So I'll be glad when all this blow over. So it should be that when you finally get to get back and come together, you should be so excited to see one another. You should be so excited to be able to hug on one another and love on one another. If anything, this thing should teach you, the value, you know, the people, the relationships that are in your life. What I can honestly say for myself, since I've been kind of locked up in my house, and I don't mind being at home, but it's getting to the point where I did something that is not typically like me. I did a faith challenge with my leadership. I said I really wanted to experience this whole shutting thing, so my face wasn't shaved, but because I was, you know, going to speak for y'all, I had to go and clean myself up. So but they saw me in a manner that they don't usually see me in, face all just looking tore to shreds, you know, just looking. I said, well, I really want to experience, I want them to see I'm experiencing being shut in. I can't go to the barber, so guess what, I'm going to look the part, right? But what it has taught me was to enjoy my wife and my children while they're here. And I can honestly say, being in such close proximity with my wife and children, you know, due to the things that are going on, it has caused us to reach out and touch one another, love on one another, spend more time, more quality time with one another. And that has made a difference in me as well as in my children. You can see just around the house, the atmosphere is a whole lot lighter. You know, we're laughing more, you know, we're enjoying one another's company and conversation. And so what I hope that will come out of this is that you value the people, value the relationship that is in your life. And especially when you get the opportunity to come back into the house of the Lord, that you will come with such a vigor, you will come with such an intensified praise, with such an intensified worship, and a longing for your brother and sister. Amen. So what we're trying to work with today, our title is going to be called Honoring Individuals, and I had a subtopic. I really don't know if the subtopic is gonna fit, Mike. I forgot to tell you about this, but listen, the subtopic was One Nature Under God. We'll see if I can work it in there, but we'll focus on honoring individuals. Amen. And so our definition for individual is simply this right here. It's individual is defined as being an individual or existing as an indivisible whole. being an individual or existing as an indivisible whole. Now, we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 12, and we're going to start at verse number 10. And the word of God says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Preferring one another. One speaking to the individual. Amen. And so as we have given you the definition for the individual, that again is being an individual or existing as an indivisible whole. Now, when you think about us as individuals, what I want you to understand, God in his infinite wisdom, God has created us in his image, and in the image of God we have been created. And what that looks like is this right here. We are a tripartite being. Right? And what does that mean for us to be a tripartite being? We're going to put that on the screen, what I'm talking about, a tripartite being. A tripartite being, right, is consisting of three parts. And so as individuals, God has made us, designed us, created us to have a body, to have a soul, and to have a spirit, right? And the three parts of the body are the flesh, the bone, and the blood. And then there are three parts of the soul. And your soul is made of your mind or your intellect, your emotions, or your heart and your will, or the actions that you carry out. And then there are three parts of the spirit, which are wisdom, communion, and conscience. Amen. So we see as a tripartite being, God in his infinite wisdom, how he's created and designed us. It is in his very own image. But think about it. In the definition for individual, it talks about we are an indivisible, meaning we cannot be divided. So although there are three parts on the inside of us, or we're made from three different parts, those three parts cannot be separated, which speaks to the nature of who God is. We understand those three are one: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three are one, indivisible. You cannot separate one from the other. They make up the entity that we know as God. Amen. So God, in his infinite wisdom, has designed or created us in his very own image by creating us to be tripartite beings, right? And so I'm just laying a little bit of foundational groundwork here. And so to go into another slide, we talk about there are three distinctions of us as man, or three distinctions of us as individuals, right? And those three distinctions are: we have an identity, we have a function or role, and then there is difference, right? Identity is defined as the qualities, beliefs that make a particular person different from others. Identity, again, is defined as the qualities or the beliefs that makes a particular person different from others. And so then we have the function, or we have role. And that is defined as the special purpose or activity for which a thing exists or is used. Again, functional role is defined as the special purpose or activity for which a thing exists or it is used. And then we have difference. Difference is defined as the quality that makes one person or thing unlike another. Difference is defined again as the quality that makes one person or thing unlike another. These are the three distinctions of a man, or the three distinctions of an individual. Now, we follow that by we have three experiences of a man, or three experiences of an individual. And those are personality, that's character, and that's behavior. And all of these three experiences of the man or the individual, they are produced by the three distinctions of man. So personality is defined as the visible aspect of one's character as it impresses others. Personality is defined as the visible aspect of one's character as it impresses others. Character is defined as it is the collection of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. Character is defined as the collection of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. And behavior is defined as, definition number one, it is the observable activity in a human. The observable activity in a human. And definition number two is, it is the response of an individual to his or her environment. The response of an individual to his or her environment. Amen. So we laid down all of that. And when you understand as being a tripartite being created by the infinite wisdom of God, having three distinctions, also having three expressions, these all reveal the nature of the individual. So the three distinctions of man and the three experiences of man reveals the nature of the man. Amen. And so now we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12, verse number 10, right? And what we find here is Paul is urging the Roman church. You know, it's one of my favorite scriptures at the beginning of the chapter. You know, how he said, I beseech you. He's begging them. He's begging them that they will present their bodies, holy and acceptable before the Lord God. And then he talks about being transformed by the renewing of the mind and all of these different things, how the Roman church is supposed to live in a corrupt culture, a society that is plagued with perversion and all these different things, all these idol worship and idolatry, the worship of false gods and all these different things and promiscuity is all around, perversion is all around. He's urging them. And so what he begins to say, he said, you, in order to survive as believers in this Roman culture, because we had some Jews who were inside this Roman empire, but you also had some Roman converts who became believers, who became Christians. So he's saying, in order for y'all to survive, he says, you have got to be kindly affectionate one to another, because you have different cultures that are coming together for the sake of being believers or witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honoring or preferring one another. And so he's talking about this being kindly affectionate one, hence the word one to another. One speaks to the individual, being kindly affectionate to the individual, right? Your individual brother with brotherly love. And think about that again, as we're talking about honor. And as love is actually pulled on the inside of this particular sermon series, it becomes difficult for us to actually honor certain people or love certain people, dare I say, right? Because when you look at the different distinctions of men, right, those three distinctions, like we said, the identity, the function of the role or the difference. For some of us, we don't like the identity of certain people. Right? Or we don't like the function or the role that they play in our life. Neither do we like the difference, right? And when you talk about difference is not just a mere means of our gender. But again, when you look at the difference, it talks about the quality that makes one person or thing unlike another, right? So for that, most of us, when we look at difference, we tend, and rather focusing on the quality, we tend to focus on the quantity of how much or what someone can actually do rather than the quality of what it is that they're doing. So for most of us, it becomes very difficult for us to honor or love someone based upon their identity, based upon their functional role, or based upon their difference. Because instead of us focusing on the quality, we want to focus on the quantity. And we got to move, because guess what? One person can't do what 10 people can do for me. You know, now, unless we're talking in a financial system, that one person is Bill Gates. Bill Gates can do what 15 of y'all can do for me. But we're talking about love, and we're talking about, right? So this is based upon the individual, right? So when we go to Romans, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now, I'm going to pose the question, what makes it difficult for you to love your fellow brother or sister? And like I said, if it's not one of the three distinctions of that man, then it's going to be one of the three expressions of that man. And for most of us, it falls under the three expressions of that man, the personality of the individual, right? And personality, it is the visible aspect of one's character as it impresses others. And most of us, we are not necessarily impressed by everyone that we come in contact with. And since we're talking about the body of Christ, most people in the body don't necessarily impress us. Because the truth be told, most of us think, okay, we're the best thing since sliced bread anyhow. And now that you got a little anointing upon your life, you know, rather than saying anointment upon your life, you know what I'm saying? You got two scriptures under your belt. You think you know more than the pastor. Now, you should be leading the church. It's possible that you can branch off and go and start your own ministry just because somebody fell at the altar when you prayed. Nah, they really didn't fall out because of the anointing. They just simply fell out because they were tired of what they were going through. And guess what? When you pray and laid your hands on them, guess what? It just pushed them. They couldn't take no more. They just had to fall. Amen. So it really wasn't about the anointment that was upon your life. So I really want you to understand. It's a lot of us, we fall under the three experiences of a man, right? It's these three experiences, right? That personality, the visible aspect of one's character as it impresses others. So most of us, we have a problem with many people's personality, because for most of us, you find yourself not necessarily clicking with other people because the personalities don't mesh. I'm not impressed by their personality. I'm not impressed by their social skills. I'm not impressed by their cognitive skills. I'm not impressed by none of that stuff, because we don't necessarily match. Our interests differ from one another. What I like, they don't like. So guess what? That X's you out. Personality, I'm not impressed by you. Or if we say character is talking about the collection of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. I don't necessarily like your character. I don't like the features and I don't like the traits of your nature. Your nature is unnerving to me. Your nature, you know what? You're a suspect individual to me. I don't know if I can trust you. So because I struggle with whether or not I can trust you, I keep you at a distance. So again, it's one of these three experiences of the man that is causing me to struggle with how I love you or how I honor you. So if you're not struggling because of the person's personality or their character, then we're going to find you right here with behavior. Because guess what? Many of y'all are familiar with. I don't necessarily have a problem with them. I just don't like their ways. You know somebody and can you relate? Oh, yeah. I can see you in the realm of the spirit. I wish I could just slide this screen over to see some of y'all, because y'all on the camera, but I believe some of y'all are just waving y'all hands because you know it exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily saying I don't like them. I just don't like their ways. But guess what? If you don't like their ways, you don't like them. Because, Debbie, you cannot separate the behavior from the individual. Now, we can change the behavior. And that's what God is saying by being transformed by the renewal of the mind. The behavior is changed when we are transformed by the renewing of the mind. But you can't separate a person from their behavior. So what you're really saying is, when you don't like their ways, you're saying I don't like them. When you're saying I don't honor their ways, you're saying I don't honor them. When you're saying I don't love their ways or their behavior, I don't love them. You cannot separate the individual from their behavior. Neither can you separate them from their character, nor can you separate them from their personality. The personality, the character, and the behavior all can be changed by the being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So what we see, these three distinctions and the three experiences, they reveal the nature of the individual. And the truth be told, when we have to deal with some of you, because you are a difficult person to deal with, whether it be because of your character, your personality, or your behavior, then guess what? How dare you talk about somebody else? I'm going to tell somebody, you got to remove that beam from your own eye before you try to remove something outside someone else's eye. You got to look at self first. And you got to be honest and be real enough to say, you know what? Some days I'm very difficult to deal with. Some days I can be very moody. Yeah, and I'm talking about some of you men, you can be very, 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 very moody. See, I've been told as a man, some days I can be very moody. My wife has expressed it to me. My even children have expressed it. Matter of fact, let me drop y'all in on something, one. I was riding home one day for school. This is before the whole shutdown thing became. And my middle child told me, she was like, she wanted to take me up on the challenge. She was like, you know what? I don't want you to talk to me for a week. I said, are you serious? Are you serious? She shook her head yes. And she was very, very, very serious. Now, I look, and it's just me, the middle child, and the younger child in the car. And this is where I do a lot of my in-depth talking to them, because, you know, just about life. I'm a middle child. She's at that age, her being 11. You know, she's trying to feel her way out through life with her friends and all these different things. And so I'm trying to make sure, as a father, you know, that I'm leading her and guiding her to make certain decisions, the right decisions, especially as they've been trained up in the things of God. So she, in her haste, was quickly to say, you know, well, yes, I want you to stop talking to me. I said, okay, well, if you want to take that chance, I'm going to let you decide how long. She came up with a week. I said, okay. I said, before you do that, can I say something to you? She's like, okay, mm-hmm. I said, now, I want to ask you a question. Who wakes you up in the morning? Now, we understand it is God that breathes his breath into your body, but whose voice are you hearing? Because right now you're not hearing God. So who do you hear in the morning? Whose voice wakes you up in the morning? And there was a sly grin on the side of her face that she understood where she was picking up what I was putting down. Okay, okay, okay. I don't wake myself up. So guess what? I understand just how important I need your voice. Now, mind you, I didn't get into the other things that my voice offers her. And so, you know, her being who she is, as soon as she got home, she went to the older child. And she began to tell the older child about this particular challenge. And then, you know, here I come running through the door. You know, Shekinah, you know, I can't believe this is what Magic said. So he can be, you know, just added to all of that. And what blessed me was Shekinah said, well, Magic said, well, who's going to pray for us then? I said, see, Max, I didn't even get into the prayer part. We just started at the waking you up part. But if my voice is silent, then I'm the one that's praying over you in the morning, asking for divine protection, asking for God to give us wisdom and all these things. So if you eliminate my voice, baby, how are you going to be covered? How are you going to hear instruction? How are you going to hear direction from God? Right? I get it. We believe that some people are difficult to deal with. But when you're talking about honor, you have to honor everything about the person. You got to honor their difficult behavior. Oh, yes, I know you don't like it, but you got to honor their difficult behavior. Why? Because you cannot separate the behavior from the individual. I said we can get the behavior to change, but until the behavior change, you still have got to honor the person, and you got to even honor their difficult behavior. Oh, I know you don't like that, but it's the truth before God. You're going to have to build up some endurance and build up some patience on the inside of you. Because the reality, before God changed you to who you are right now at this point in your life, guess what? And for most of us, I'm going to raise my hand. We are still difficult to deal with some days. You want it your way. Pretty much all the time, you want it your way. So guess what? When you really think about it, God's personality is clashing with our personality all the time. The character, because most of us, we're praying that prayer, God, I want to be like you, God. Let my character be like your character, God. Let my nature be like your nature, God. I want to love like you love, God. I want to forgive how you forgive, God. I want to be understanding like you. I want to have the wisdom of all these different things. But your character clashes with the character of God, as well as your behavior clashes with the behavior of God. Because think about it, how God does things. He tells us his ways are not our ways. So it tells us right there that his behavior, your behavior is clashing. So think about it. When we talk about the behavior, it's the observable activity in a human. So the things that you are able to see, witness, and hear, and experience. Sometimes we have a problem with honoring people because of what we see and what we feel and what we hear. Oh, let's jump back on that word fear. Oh, because most of us, we talk about, I feel some kind of way, or I feel some type of way. What you said made me feel some type of way. What you did made me feel some type of way. And we have a problem with honoring people, although what they actually did in fact make you feel some type of way. You still have to honor them. And then the reality, when you think about that example that I gave, if a person actually mishandled you, see, the behavior definition number two talks about it is the response of an individual to his or her environment. And most of you, when you think about your environment, it is not an atmosphere that is conducive for the Holy Spirit to abide. All that exists in your atmosphere is a bunch of chaos and confusion. All that exists in your atmosphere is a bunch of anger and frustration and irritation. You got most of y'all dealing with sleep and insomnia, all these different things. So you easily irritable. And it's not that you up because you praying, bombarding heaven, you standing in the gap for somebody. No, most of you up on Facebook, Instagram, looking at stuff that you should not be looking at, all kind of stuff. You ain't got no time to get in the book, but you'll sure get in Facebook. So your environment or your atmosphere is not conducive for the Holy Spirit to even by. So most of you, your response is a negative response based upon your environment or your atmosphere. If you get your atmosphere right, then maybe we can get your behavior right. And if your behavior begins to change, maybe your character will change. And if your character changes, then just what? I believe that your personality will change. Hallelujah, anyhow. I thank God for the word. We're going to go back to the scripture. Go back to the scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, and it talks about, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So it is an honor that I'm preferring one another, or it's an honor that I'm preferring the other individual, right? And this word preferring in the Greek talks about choosing. I'm choosing or liking something or someone better. So it is, I'm choosing, I make the choice, I go with intent to like someone or something better. This is me honoring, or this is me preferring. So even when we talk about this preferring, as we talked about, some people are difficult to deal with. But when you're talking about honor, guess what? You got to honor their choices. Whether you think their choice is right or wrong, you still got to honor their choices. Whether you think their behavior was right or wrong, you still got to honor their behavior. Even though you feel your personality doesn't mesh, their character is suspect and all these different things, you still must honor the individual. You must honor their character. You must honor their personality. Because if I fail to do any of these things, then guess what? I'm not honoring the individual. I'm not choosing the individual. And most of us, because we deal with such a spirit of rejection, guess what? It becomes difficult for us to open the inside door of our heart to give people access by the means of honor. Rejection has caused us to struggle with being honored, but in like manner honoring someone else. But I wish somebody would just go ahead and open up and allow yourself to be chosen by somebody. I thank God that God has placed somebody in your life, like a Pastor Katrina, to choose you. Because we know God has chosen you. God has chosen you in spite of all of your flaws, in spite of all of your hiccups, in spite of all of your mistakes, in spite of all of your errors and shortcomings and all of these things. God still chooses you. But it's something altogether different when God can place an individual just like you who has to wrestle with their stank and dirty, nasty, perverted flesh just like you. But God has set them in a role, or God has given them a function in your life to help get you to a place pertaining to the will of God. In like manner, they still choose you with your difficult self, your moody self some, your rebellious self some days. You understand? Your fearful self some day. But they still choose you because they understand this is honoring God. I'm honoring God as I honor you by still choosing to choose you. I go with the intent to choose you, even when you upset and mad at me, because I had to correct you. Correction is a part of my responsibility. Even when I got to ask you questions and you don't like the fact that you've grown and I had to ask you a question, you feel I shouldn't be asking you questions because I don't pay your bills, I don't pay your rent, I don't pay your light bill, nor your quarter. But asking questions is a part of my responsibility. Guess what? I'm honoring God by asking you questions because that is a part of my responsibility. So even when you get disgusted about the fact that I had to ask you a question, guess what? I'm not going to stop asking you questions. I'm not going to stop correcting you. I'm not going to stop rebuking. Can you, if it warrants a rebuke, I'm not gonna stop, because that is me honoring God, and in like manner, that is me, in fact, honoring you. I choose you just like God is choosing you. So it says, preferring in the Greek is talking about choosing or liking something or someone better. I'm going with the intent, I'm choosing you, and I'm liking you because I'm going with the intent because I see the better in you. Most of us, it's difficult to see the better in you right now because all we see right now is the bitterness in you. But we're trying to get past the bitterness to dig out that better that is inside of you. Oh, I wish I had some help right there. Listen, I got an audience. Y'all, come on, children, y'all got to help me. Y'all are my audience right here. You got to say, come on, thank you, Jesus. Come on, Rich, and say, help me right there. Amen. Because we're trying to
hallelujah.
Get past this bitterness, you know what I'm saying, and dig out this better that's on the inside of
you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. So this being a kindly affectionate to one another and preferring one another, again, that is to choose the person. If I'm going to choose the person, I'm choosing everything about them, their identity. I'm choosing their function. I'm choosing their role. I'm choosing their difference. I'm choosing their personality. I'm choosing their character. And I'm choosing their behavior. Even when it doesn't feel good, even when it looks like they're not going to change for the next 7 years, but I still choose them. Do you understand? If people felt, or if people knew that they were chosen, it would be easier to get the heart of the individual to change. So many of us have been dealing with rejection. That rejection from a child that has been difficult for us to allow God to change us from the inside out. But we have got to go with the intent to prefer one another. This is honoring. I choose you. Even when you made a mistake, I still choose you. Because how many times have you been through with people when they made a mistake? And you forget all the mistakes that you made. But the one mistake that they made that you feel like it hurt your heart so bad. Oh, you so done. I don't want nothing else to do with them. I'm going to defriend them on Facebook. I'm going to block them for calling me. All of these different things. Lose my number. All these different things. But when you made the mistake, you did not want anybody to mishandle you or treat you in that manner. That's called dishonor. All you got to do is see. If you sit back and watch the lives of people, I guarantee you, either you're going to see honor working in their lives or you're going to see dishonor working in their lives. One of the two. One of the two. And remember we said, honor, it opens the inside door. It is a means to great blessings. So now even when we talk about blessings in the sense of materialistical things, some of the things that most of us have prayed for, you haven't received. It's not because God didn't hear you, but it's because you did not honor. Oh, I love it right there. I love it right there. You got to find where dishonor is working in your life and go and get it, snatch it up, and so place honor in its place so that what you're believing God for can manifest in your life. I'm telling you, I've seen it as I sit back and watch like God told me. God told me, he said, sit back and observe the lives of the people and you will see whether honor or dishonor is working in the lives of the people. And as just as sure as he's sitting on the throne, when I did what he said, I can begin to see honor or dishonor working in the lives of people. So we're talking about honoring these individuals, So one of the main things when we look at these definitions, for example, even when we talk about the difference of an individual, one of the main words that you'll see throughout these definitions, whether it be identity, you know, difference and things of that nature right there, you see the word quality. And quality is defined as it's of the very best kind, right? And do you see the very best in people? Do you? Most of us, it's difficult for us to see the very best in people because we don't necessarily see the best in ourselves. What you tend to see is your shortcomings, your flaws, and your misbehaving, all of these different things. And so as you see yourself, we tend to see other people. Said again, as you see yourself, you tend to see other people. So in reality, it's difficult for us to love other people because you struggle with loving yourself. It's difficult for us to honor other people because you struggle with honoring yourself. Oh, tell somebody you need to go ahead and forgive yourself. Because why? Because God has already forgiven you, so you need to go ahead and forgive yourself. Because if you have not forgiven yourself, guess what? I want to let you know that you are dishonoring yourself. The fact that you're still walking around holding your mistakes and errors and shortcomings and flaws over your head, you are not forgiving yourself. It is a dishonor to God. He cannot use you in the manner that he desires to use you because guess what? You fail to forgive yourself. It has got to change. We have got to get to the place where we're honoring God. Because remember the pattern in Mark chapter 12. Remember the pattern. Love God first, then love your neighbor. So love or honor God first, then love or honor your neighbor. If I can honor God with my behavior, then it becomes easier to honor my neighbor or love my neighbor. He said, be kind, affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And see, most of us, again, it's difficult for us because we don't see the quality in individuals. But I want to let you know, oh, you got quality about you. There is something good on the inside of you. Matter of fact, God has placed the best thing on the inside of you. Oh, yes. And you need to understand that, again, quality is defined as of the very best kind. You're the best version of yourself. Because there is no other you. Guess what? Because everybody else is taken, so you only can be you. So be the very best you. And that's what God wants. God wants the quality that is housed on the inside of you. We're going to go over to, I'm going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor all men, honor all men. And when you think about honor all means all in the Bible, honor all men. We have our favorites or we have our favorites when it comes to who we're going to honor. I like how they preach, so I'm going to honor them. I don't necessarily like how they preach or teach, so it's hard for me to even listen to them. No, he said honor all men. And what we find in the body of Christ is, you know, because people don't understand scripture, they're limited in their understanding and their thinking. And when it comes to scripture, they'll take scripture out of context because Paul told the women to be silent in the church. So they think this means that women are not allowed to preach. But if they were real Bible scholars and they understood, that's not what Paul was necessarily talking about. So you find in the body of Christ, there was a dishonor to the women of God, the women's service that God has placed his call upon, his anointing upon. You find men with dishonor them. I can't sit underneath a woman. Dishonor. He says, honor all men, love them. And then he talks about loving the brotherhood. One of the messages that we talked about here a while ago, one of the sermons we had was called Finding Your Place in the Hood. And what I mean when we talk about the hood, there you see brotherhood. There is a hood right there. As men, and there is a sisterhood, marriagehood, childhood, all these different hoods, but being a part of the brotherhood or the sisterhood means as a man, I have placed myself in a manner to be accountable to these other men, regardless of the age, regardless of the position, regardless of the functional role, I have placed myself in a manner to be accountable to these other men. In like manner, so it is in the sisterhood. Women, you should surround yourself with other women to cause yourself to be accountable. See, we find men fall or women fall because guess what? They have unlinked themselves from being in this wall of the brother or the sisterhood. To be a part of the brotherhood serves as a wall. And if there are any gaps in there, you're going to find that somebody's going to fall. And then the gaps come by way of the individual who refuses to be accountable. Thereby, you not endanger all of us because there was a breach or there was a gap, there was an opening in this secure wall that once was. He said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And when you talk about the king, there was a function or there was a role or there was a position that the king has. There was a certain authority that God has given him. So think about it. He didn't say honor the king if the king was a holy king, a righteous king, a king of God. He said honor the king. Now, I know some of y'all may not like me, but I'm going to go right here. I don't agree with everything he do. Some of y'all call him number 45, but guess what? That is dishonor. He is the president of the United States, and he is number 45. That is President Donald Trump. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with everything he does. Truth be told, I didn't even vote for him, but he's there. But the reality, I'm not going to dishonor the role that he operates in. Neither am I going to dishonor the office that he fulfills. It has its purpose. The function or the role that he has, it has its purpose. And a lot of times, because we fail to understand the personality, the character, or the behavior, guess what? We find ourselves not just dishonoring the individual, but we'll also dishonor the role or the function that God has called them to have in our life. You're not going to always like your pastor, your apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, or the teacher, or the ministers. You're not going to always like everybody that you're called to work beside in the kingdom of God. But you do have to love them if you're going to get into the kingdom. What I'm saying is God has called them to operate in a certain functional role in your life. And by them operating in this role of function in your life, it is designed to help get you to a better place. It is designed to help you evolve in the things of God, become who you're supposed to be in God. It's not there for you to like. And not. And this is what you got to understand. The president is not called to be your buddy. He's called to be the leader of the free world. He's not called to be your best friend. Same thing holds true for your pastor, your apostle, or your spiritual leader. They're not called to be your best friend. Everything that they say, you are not going to always like. And the truth be told, they're going to give you some instructions that you're just simply not going to understand. But regardless whether I understand it or like it or not, because God placed them in my life to operate in a certain functional role, because I honor God, I'm going to honor them. We see in the scripture, the 10 lepers, God gave them a structure that it just clearly did not make sense. Go show yourself to the priest. While they had leprosy, it did not make sense. You go show yourself to the priest when leprosy has been cured. When you had a state of it's been cured. They had full-blown leprosy. He said, go show yourself to the priest. It was en route while they followed an instruction that did not make sense to them that they received the healing, or at least the one received the healing. They had enough sense to turn around and tell them, thank you. You're not going to always agree. You're not going to always like. And the truth is, you're not going to always understand. I'm living it right now. There was an instruction that apostle gave to me. I don't understand why he gave it, but I'm not going to question him on why he gave it to me. The truth be told, do I like it? No. Do I agree with it? No. But I'm not going to question what my leader gave me to do. That is honor. Because I understand it's serving a purpose in my life. There is something that he may be getting me, training me, or teaching me without having to tell me, hey, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to. It should not be that we always got to come to say, listen, I need you to do this because I'm trying to teach you a lesson, or I'm trying to train you in something. If you honor them, they will have your ear. If you honor them, even when, like we say, because they have such a weight in your life, misunderstandings are not going to cause us to fall out. Misunderstandings are not going to cause you to actually be blown outside of my life. This is what we have to make sure that we're operating. As we honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor kings. Man. So our last scripture, and I'm going to get out your way. We're going to jump over to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse 7. And it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. God looks on the inside door, that inside place. Since we're talking about honoring individuals, again, most of us tend to honor based upon what we see in relation to the outward appearance. There are some people, they were simply your favorite and they got honor from you. They didn't have to speak that much. They didn't have to perform that much. Just because of their mere looks, they got honor from you. Think about all the celebrities that we think are attractive individuals, how they go into all these different stores and these people give them free things. You know, yes, it's helping their business, whatever the case may be, but we understand they are giving it because of the status that this celebrity walks in, as well as their attractive looks. So in essence, they are being honored by people as people give certain things to them because of their looks. And I get it. Some of us, we were a little physically challenged, so we didn't get as honored as much. You got tired of your mama just honoring you. My baby, leave my baby alone. My baby, so my baby is cute. I told him, I said, listen, I got so tired of hearing the word cute and hearing some of my other brothers, they call them handsome. I said, oh no, I wouldn't even put this on my children. I don't let nobody refer to my children as being cute because I think it's a polite way of calling me ugly. So guess what? I ain't gonna let you call my child cute. Guess what? There's only one word that I speak over my children, and that is beautiful. I speak it over and I speak it to them. You are beautiful. I don't call them pretty because guess what? Little dresses and little shoes are pretty. But my babies and my wife, they're beautiful. One word, beautiful. So understand, some people receive honor, or we were willing to give honor simply because of what people's outer shell fed to us. But again, as we speak to the distinctions, their identity, their functional role, their difference, and we speak to their personality, their character, and their behavior, God is looking at that inside place. He doesn't care how you look. Think about it. even though some of us act a slam fool, speak it to your behavior, God still called you. God still chose you. Because God was looking at the heart. The heart. So going back to us talking about quality, you got to understand there is quality. You got the best heart. You don't have the best mouth, but you got the best heart. Oh, yeah. You got a foul mouth. You got a mouth that murmurs. You got a mouth that complains. You got a mouth that won't worship. You got a mouth that don't talk faith but talks fear. But he looking at your heart. You got the best heart, though. You got Roman eyes, but he looking at your heart. Yeah. You got scrolling fingers, but he looking at your heart. Yeah. Your fingers don't necessarily look good to him, but your heart looks good to him. Oh, yes, I sure bless your wonderful name, God. On the days that I have Roman eyes, my heart still looks good to you, God. I'm so grateful that God looks at the heart. He sees the quality of the heart. Broken-hearted some days, but yet I still press forward. I still want you, God. I still choose you, God. I still desire you, God. Rejected in my heart, but I still want you, God. People that I wanted didn't want me back, but God, I still want you, God. People find every excuse to make me seem like I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve honor, but I still want you, God. See, that is a quality of the heart. And you ought to thank God. Even though my behavior, I want to cuss them out. Or my behavior is I want to smack the bust somebody to the white meat, whatever the case may be. But my heart won't let me do what my flesh or my nature wants to do. You don't like me? I ain't gonna like you back. Out of here. I shoot you a bird. But my heart said, I can't do that. Oh, y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know I ain't lying. Now it's the discreet stuff that we like to do. I ain't gonna cuss because somebody might hear me cuss, but my hands are quick. I can shoot that bird real quick. You saw it, you knew what it meant before anybody saw that middle finger go up. But God sees it. God sees it. So as we're talking about honoring individuals, you gotta honor even their potential. I know you don't like that. they have potential to be a good father. They don't pay no child support. They're not trying to help with taking care of the children. They come home and all they want somebody is to cater to them. But they forget I work a full-time job too. They have the potential to be a good husband. They have the potential to be a good father. They have the potential to be a good friend. They have the potential to be a good minister, a good deacon, deaconess, a good pastor, a good teacher, good evangelist, good prophet, good apostle, good servant. They have the potential to be. You see, at one point in my life, I was like, listen, I would tell different people who was getting married, don't marry potential. Don't you marry no potential. I don't want something that could possibly be. I need you to be. I don't want to marry no potential. I need to marry assurance, a surety. But God checked me and said, no. You, in honoring individuals, you must still honor their potential. Even when they struggle to do what they've been called to do. Even when they're afraid to be who I've called them to be, you got to still honor their potential. Their bad choices, you got to still honor them. And for me, that has been difficult when someone doesn't choose what I would choose. And when I say what I would choose, my life is governed by the word of God. So if they choose anything other than the word of God, it's a problem for me. And I have to learn to take my emotions out of the equation. Because it makes me feel a certain type of way. The truth be told, I don't want to be bothered with them. If you don't want God, man, you don't want me. But again, he said, you got to honor their choices, even when they're wrong. That's still honoring the individual. Honor their potential. although they're struggling, although they don't want to be it, although they don't want to submit and yield to it, you still have to honor their potential. Can I really be real? You got to even honor the struggle that they deal with. Even though we understand the individual is not the struggle, we cannot act as if the struggle does not exist. The struggle speaks to the behavior of why a person does what they do. So simply put, some days you're honoring the struggle can be a mere you acknowledging what they deal with. Now, I'm not condoning it. I'm not accepting it, but I acknowledge you deal with this. But there is one greater by the name of Jesus Christ, greater than your struggle, greater than any sin that any of us have committed. That can be changed. Again, in the same chapter of Romans, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So I just want to encourage you, as we honor individuals, know that God is not looking on the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. He's looking at the inside door. And it is honor that makes the difference. If we're going to have great relationship, a great community, it is honor that makes the difference. Honor is going to open the inside door that is going to cause us to have these great relationships, this great community or fellowship, as well as the great blessings and great covenant in our lives. It is going to be honor. In order for us to have successful ministry, to advance the kingdom of God, honor must be on display. And it starts with us honoring God and honoring our neighbor as we honor or love ourselves. Amen.